Hello, and welcome to Powering Through Life. I'm your host, Teresa Sims. My mission is to share the wide range of strategies people have discovered and adopted to power through their lives. Every Friday at 2 p.m., I will have a new guest with interesting stories and topics to share. Join me on Encouraging You Radio, Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, to learn, become inspired, and motivated. Welcome to Powering Through Life. I'm your host, Teresa Sims, and each week I have a new and exciting guest and fabulous topics to discuss. And our mission is to share the wide range of strategies people have adopted to power through their lives every day. Today, my guest is Jennifer Gimbery. And Jennifer is the president of Gimbery Coaching and Consulting, co-founder and resident expert for the Radical Joy Seeking Women's Club, co-founder for a local networking group called Get Social. She's also a regular contributor to a global women's empowerment magazines, Bella Mia, and Simply Women. Jennifer is a certified professional coach, change management practitioner, and infuses positive psychology practices into her work. Welcome, Jennifer, to Powering Through Life.
Thank you very much, Teresa. I look forward to our conversation.
I'm so very happy to have you here today, and I know you have a lot of great information to share for us, so let's get going. So, Jennifer, I understand that you infuse happiness into daily life using strengths-based coaching. Could you please explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. I believe that we all have an opportunity to make it a great day, and so what does that mean? It means that our perception of things matter. And we can infuse happiness into our life by going at it a particular way. So if you think about it, during your day or as your day starts, if you were to wake up and, you know, kind of open your arms wide and say, I am open and receptive to all good, what do you think that might do for you?
Oh, that would definitely open your heart and soul and your spirit up to everything good, all good energy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because it allows you to be on the lookout for those good things in your life. And I think there are particular mantras that we can have that allow us to shape the day and what we see in it. So I believe people are creative, capable, wise, and good. So when I come in contact with clients or friends or family, that's what it is I'm seeing. That's what I'm looking out for, that they are creative, capable, wise, and good.
That is really interesting. And how did you discover and come about that philosophy?
I think it was during, so I've taken several different coaching certifications, and I think it was during the third course that I took. The instructor was asking us to come up with our coaching mantra, and that's what I came up with.
It's a very nice one. It's very powerful, and it's very gentle at the same time and very welcoming. So that's great. Is there how else would you go about explaining that to someone? How would they do that? Just stand and open their arms, and do they need to breathe deeply before they start, or how do they go about it?
Well, I think, you know, depending on their style, right? Because each of us is a bit unique. Mm-hmm. If to them, you know, sitting in meditation, repeating those things or using loving kindness meditation to start their day might be a good thing, then that would be up to them to decide what serves them best. For me, and in one of the keynote speeches I do, I talk about, you know, just opening your arms wide, which, as you said, kind of opens your heart, and say to the universe, I am open and receptive to all good.
I really like that. I think that is amazing. I'm going to have to do that because I get going in the morning and I start on a 90-mile-an-hour go and I don't stop and I forget to take those times, and I'm sure a lot of us do, take the few minutes or the 10 minutes, whatever it takes, to just sit and quiet ourselves and receive gifts and put our positive energy out into the universe.
Yeah, and I'll share with you another part of my morning routine, because I really do believe a morning routine is critical to our success.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I used a deck of strengths cards. So they are from At My Best.
Okay.
And so basically, I would pull a card in the morning. I'm just going to do that now to kind of demonstrate it with you.
Okay.
And so this card for today is called Rigorous. So it's having me think about the word rigorous, and have me be on the lookout for when is somebody demonstrating that strength. How can I demonstrate that strength when I'm with clients or when I'm with family or friends? And so each of the cards has a word that you can pull and be on the lookout for that thing. So, you know, maybe one of the cards is curiosity, etc. This year's deck is called Crazy Sexy Love Notes from Chris Carr. And these are messages from your wise and fabulous inner self. So if I was to pull one for today, the card that I pulled is You Are Healing.
Oh,
healing
interesting.
Healing happens in seasons. It can't be rushed or forced to fit in a schedule. So often we curse the seeds that haven't taken root, failing to realize it's not their time. They need more water, sunlight, and care. Bullying ourselves blocks regeneration. Also, sometimes the healing we're focused on isn't the healing that's taking place. There's a much deeper healing going on. Be patient, dear one. You are healing.
That is so true. Now, do you use those cards with your clients all the time?
I do not. No, particularly, I use them for myself in my morning routine.
Okay.
If, for example, there is an opportunity where a client of mine is blocked, and it would be very, very few and far between,
mm-hmm.
And they are kind of ruminating on something that is occurring,
mm-hmm.
I may end up pulling one of the cards, but it would be few and far between.
Okay. So these are more for personal use and personal growth and development and empowerment.
Exactly. I might share one of the cards periodically inside the Radical Joy Seeking Women's Club just
mm-hmm.
to, you know, invite some different thoughts for the members and have them be on the lookout for something in their life that might need some attention.
I think that's where I've seen you post them before, and I've been intrigued by them, and I do need to find out where you'll have to send me the information where I can acquire a deck of cards for myself.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
My strengths I definitely found online, and then the Chris Carr cards were at Chapters.
Oh, interesting. Okay, great information. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, Jennifer, getting into our next question, what makes your coaching engagements with your clients different?
Well, I think one of the things, there's a lot of professional coaches out there with many great skills and strengths, and I am a strengths-based coach. So I continually learn in that profession, even though I have my certified professional coach and I have over 850 coaching hours logged, I end up continually learning. So one of the leadership coaching programs that I'm taking starts again in April, so I'm always learning. But on top of that, I'm a change management practitioner
mm-hmm.
and a positive psychology advocate. So when I come into agreements with clients, I'm not just coming at it with coaching skills. There are many different tools that I can pull from, being a member of the Change Management Association, being a member of the Canadian Positive Psychology Association, and ICF. There's a lot of resources that I bring to that engagement to support someone.
That is a lot of information, knowledge, and power that you have behind you, and you're giving it, not giving it, but you're providing that for your clients, and it's a whole, almost like a whole person kind of approach in helping your clients, right? Not just one aspect, but you're giving them a well-rounded approach to your coaching.
Yeah, so the experience is different because I'm able to pull from a really big bag of tricks to support
yeah.
them. So, you know, if somebody's coming up with, you know, they're talking about the experience and, you know, that they're not having success with it, not only do I ask, you know, the right discovery questions, I can bring up a practice that could support them from, you know, positive psychology. I can notice where they might be in the change cycle based on the discussion because of the knowledge of all of the different change cycles that are out there.
Right. And it's a good thing that you have, good thing for yourself and your clients that you have that wealth of knowledge to pull from, because I'm sure it really does help them a lot and helps you find what works best for your clients as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a coach, there's a lot of opportunity where people are trying to change, whether it's a habit, whether it's a lifestyle, whether it's their business, they're in a growth phase. And with those, with the process, there's a lot of elements that are necessary in order for change to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to talk through what that looks like for them, for their team, for, you know, the people around them, how do they engage that change team properly, helps them with their success and to achieve their results.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So you find that many people, when they're in overwhelm, what practices can you share with our audience to support them when a person is in overwhelm?
Absolutely. So I thought of three. So the first one is something that I call the 90-second scorecard. So I was involved in creating a national conference for an investment firm that I was with before.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with someone called Dr. Jason Selk, who came to us from the States to speak at our conference. And he coined that phrase, the 90-second scorecard, and he shared with our audience what that looks like. So, for example, a problem arises, and you see it as a problem. You could take just a blank sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle of it so that you've got a left side of the paper and a right side of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And on the left at the top, you might write the word problem. And then on the right side, you might write the word solution. And so what he encouraged us to do is to set the timer. So, you know, we all have these handy iPhones and things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Set the timer to 90 seconds. And start listing the problem on the left. So, you know, here's what happened. Here's who it affected. What am I going to do? So all of those things that go through your mind when a problem presents itself to you. And then he's trained us or encouraged us to move the pen, like pick it up from the left side, move it to the right side, and find the solution. So start answering, you know, what is the solution? How can I solve it? Who can help? All of those questions that can get you to a solution. And after you do that for a period of time, your brain ends up being trained to do that without needing the piece of paper and pen.
Oh, that's incredible. So you're listing the problems, but you're dumping the problems, the list of problems that you're having, and then you're automatically mm-hmm. switching brain modes almost and just going into how can I fix it?
Yes.
Perfect. I like that. That's great.
A lot of people spend too much time in rumination, right? So they're, mm-hmm. oh my God, what is this going to mean? And they could spend, you know, 10 minutes to hours on the problem. And so for high performance, you want to learn tricks and tools to support you to move faster to solution.
Right.
So that was one. The second one is, have you heard of a mindfulness jar before?
I have, but would you please explain it anyway for our listeners' sakes?
Yeah, so basically you can search on YouTube for mindfulness jar. And basically it's a mason jar with water in it and glitter glue and then a lid. So you can color it any way you want. But basically the glitter glue sits in the bottom because it's a bit heavier than the water. And if you're in overwhelm, you can pick that up, shake it a bit, and then obviously all of the glitter will be floating around in the air, and those are your thoughts. And when you stare at that, as the glitter comes to the bottom, it actually calms your nervous system and calms your thinking to, you know, just relax in that moment. The same thing could be done with a snow globe, right, without having to create your own.
Right. Now, in your mindfulness jar, you could actually put a little figurine or something that means something to you inside that. For example, I love unicorns, so I could glue a little unicorn in the bottom of that jar and then put the glitter glue around it. Would it work that way?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So basically it's shaking it up, which is kind of the representation of the overwhelm, and then allowing that jar to sit there and settle so that you're calming your breathing, you're, you know, you're relaxing and you're able to put focus to it. So if you imagine just sitting and looking out your window and watching the snow fall, it's kind of calming. Right?
It is, yes. It's. I actually have little light prisms hanging on my windows, and when the sun shines, it glitters throughout the room and in my office, and it's just, it reminds me of a secret garden, and it does actually create a calmness, and I'm going to have to try the glitter jar, honestly. I think that's great. So what is the third one, Jennifer?
Third one is using something called thought stopping. And so you can leverage many different techniques, but one of them is, for example, around my wrist right now, I have like a chakra bead bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an elastic to it. And the process with the elastic band in thought stopping is, if I recognize a very negative thought, or as you suggested, someone in overwhelm, I would encourage just basically trying to shift that thinking. So thought stopping, you know, oh, how am I going to accomplish everything that I need to accomplish today? I'm never going to be able to do that. All of those kind of negative chatter that could occur in someone. If you go, nope, stop. And you can do that one of two ways. If you've trained your brain well enough, you could basically say the word stop and then shift thinking. But when you're training yourself, you could use that elastic band and just, you know, snap it, not hurting yourself, but snap the band to stop the thinking and then shift focus.
Okay. That seems familiar to me. It's almost like, I was thinking almost like Skinner, or someone along that line, when they were training the behaviors of the animals, was it, where a negative behavior gets a negative, you know, kind of treatment, and then the positive behavior gives you something good. So is it along the same lines as that?
I'm not familiar with that, but it could be. So the thought around it is the action of, so you're anchoring an action. So whether it's the word stop or whether it's kind of snapping the band, you're anchoring the action to stop the thought and then shift focus.
Okay. So which bead do you, what's the color bead that you have on today based on the chakra that you're working on?
Red.
Red. And what chakra is that?
Love. So, love. Yeah.
Okay. And for your clients, do you use this for your clients as well?
So a lot of my clients who are high-performing business individuals, typically this isn't a process that we need to go to frequently.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something that I encourage based on language that they're using to rewrite script, so meaning create affirmations and or use the mindfulness jar. So the elastic band is really just a tool that I've picked up for conversations with others who I may not work with because they're in overwhelm a lot of times. So I'll give you an example. Someone that we know personally is a local coach. And before the game, he gets a little, you know, a little bit of an anxiety attack. And to me, that isn't somebody who I would work with on a regular basis because I believe that that's a different skill set than mine. But I shared that technique with him, and it seems to be supporting him.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's actually taking an unwanted behavior and an unwanted pattern and shifting it and changing it into something that's positive and useful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. That sounds great. I'm going to look into that as well. So how can people gain access to a few of the tips on positive psychology practices from you, Jennifer?
Yeah, if they visited Jimberee, J-I-M-B-E-R-E, Coaching and Consulting, and is spelled out andy.com, on the website, in the first section when you land on the site, there are three opportunities to gain access to 5 free videos. The last one on the right, when you click it and provide your email address, I'll send you the first positive psychology practice tip as soon as you sign up, and you get one a week. And they're very short, 2-minute videos based on hundreds of hours learning in the subject in the field of positive psychology. And basically, they are tips and practices that you can try in order to increase your positive emotions and make positive psychology work for you.
Well, that's wonderful. And all of that information that you've shared, your website and your bio will be on our EncouragingYouRadio.com Facebook page and on the website. So we'll be sharing all that information with our listeners. So is there anything else you'd like to share today, Jennifer?
Well, I hope that the tips were useful to the listeners. And if they have any questions about any of them, please feel free to reach out.
I think that's wonderful. And I understand that you have been a contributing author to a successful book recently as well. Would you like to share?
Sure, yes. The book was called Dream Boldly, I Dare You. And basically, the 31 authors who came together to put that book into one powerful series of stories wanted others to reignite their dreams. And it's basically an invitation for you to soar. So each of the stories come to life with a different kind of view and experience. And so my story was called Where Belief in Yourself Meets Bold Moves. And really, it's a story about the transition of leaving from the corporate world, that safe space that I was in for 17 years, mm-hmm. and launching my private practice full-time.
Because it is very scary, isn't it? When you go from the corporate world to an entrepreneurial world, it's very uncertain, and it's terrifying at times, isn't it?
Well, I guess what was unique about my story was that I was saying, you know, there's a lot of feelings out there about it being hard and about it being scary, and that just wasn't my experience. And still, you know, knock on wood, is not my experience. I think it's when you make a decision and you commit to it and you have belief that you can do it, all things are possible.
Very well said. Very well said. So, Jennifer, if I was to ask you what powering through life means to you, what would you tell our listeners powering through life means?
Well, you know, it's interesting because as I was kind of reflecting on that question, my answer that I wrote down here was really powering through life is where belief in yourself meets bold moves. So, what is it that you want to do? What do you think you're called for? And are you able to build and cultivate a confidence in yourself that you can achieve that and go after it?
That's great. Oh, that has been incredible. That is worth sharing, and I'm so glad that I was able to have you on today, Jennifer. You have been a great wealth of knowledge, and I do appreciate you being with us. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. So, listeners, thank you for listening to Powering Through Life. Our guest today was Jennifer Jimberee of Jimberee Coaching and Consulting. So join us again next Friday at 2 p.m. on Encouraging You Radio, and we look forward to hearing you and seeing you then.
Thank you for listening to Powering Through Life. Powering Through Life is designed to help my listeners discover new ways to encourage happiness and fulfillment in their lives. Join me, Teresa Sims, each week on Encouraging You Radio to learn how you too can power through your life. 'Cause I got angels.